welcome to the Real Estate Matters podcast. I'm Stuart Norton with the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the University of Alabama. And today we have John Coley returning for another episode. Welcome back to the show, John.
Hey, thanks, Stuart. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So John is the broker and owner at Lake Martin Voice Realty down in the Lake Martin area. And so, John, just tell us a little bit about yourself, just to set the stage, you know, and you know, your career trajectory that led you to your current role as being being a broker there on Lake Martin.
I kind of had a lot of people in real estate, a kind of a circuitous, I don't know if that's even the word, route.
That sounds good to me.
Right. I started out as in college as a pre-engineering major. Then I changed that to accounting and worked for Russell Corp for 4 years, and then a real estate developer 6 years as their controller. And then decided I wanted to try sales out. Being from the Lake Martin area, I figured that'd be a great place to start. And so, I don't know, I just had that on my mind because we have, my wife and I have two boys in college right now.
Oh, wow.
And we're trying to advise them on careers and majors and all that. And sometimes I think, you know, gosh, why don't you know what you want to do? I mean, you know, it's right there in front of you. Then I think to myself, you know, I changed majors twice and changed careers twice. So to get myself where I am now. But I enjoy what I do. It's a lot of fun. And there's never a dull moment. I can say that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, and I was actually down in that area for Memorial Day weekend. I don't think I've ever seen more boats on a Memorial Day. You know, I guess good thing or bad thing, you know, either way. But it's definitely a growing area. I got to say that. I feel like more people are learning about the Lake Martin area. You know, word is just spreading slowly but surely.
Yeah. I mean, it's a regional draw for sure now. I mean, it doesn't, you know, surprise me when I get calls from three or four states away for people that are interested in buying or owners that are selling. And so, yeah, you know, Memorial Day is one of our big three, you know, weekend holidays. Obviously it's always going to be busy.
Sure.
And, we had fun. I went out to one of the, landing at Parker Creek's restaurant, and we sat there and watched boats attempt to come in and dock. You know, I'm one of those people that I can't turn away from a boat fail. So when I saw, I planted myself and just sat there and just, it was incredible. But anyway,
there's
good and bad.
Yeah. Especially with all the wind. It was one of the windier weekends.
Well,
good stuff. And so, about the waterfront market there at the lake. So what have you, what are some of the trends that you've seen, you know, recently with all the home sales activity going on the lake? And so just kind of give us a waterfront market update.
Yeah, it's very super interesting year. Number of homes sold are down and inventory is up. So if we look at the numbers, we're about 16% down for home sales compared to last year. And we're about 24% off our 5-year average for numbers of homes sold.
Okay.
And inventory is up. Like, you know, in a couple of previous years, the story has been, well, of course, we're not selling as many houses. There's not any many. You can't sell what's not there. Well, that's not true anymore. We're up 33% from our prior year on inventory, but we're still below our 5-year average. So, you know, that's what makes it a weird moment, I think, in the market. I don't know why more people aren't talking about this, but you know, just the fact that it's trending, the trend is definitely, I don't think we're in a seller's market anymore at the at Lake Martin. Just because of this. And so, we're still below our 5-year average, but the trends is we've been trending behind our prior year. That's what I look at super heavily is the same month versus the prior year or the, you know, April this year versus April last year. And we've been losing to the prior year for about 18 straight months.
I've noticed that as well, looking in the monthly sales data.
So I don't know why more people aren't talking about that. But, you know, that being said, in the past 2 weeks, I've been helping two buyers put in offers on things that do have multiple offer situations. So, but those multiple offer situations are fewer and far between. It's like one out of 15 houses for sale that are, as opposed to 10 out of 15 2 years ago.
Interesting. Do you think that, because there was a big flurry of buying activity, you know, obviously, you know, summer of 2020, especially 2021, that probably extended into 22 a good bit. Do you think that flurry of buying activity could have something to do with it over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that I don't know what to, price increases, I think. It's very hard as an agent to put your finger on exactly why sales are lower without using anecdotal evidence. But anecdotally, what I'm hearing from buyers, it feels like 2009 to me, because what I'm hearing from buyers is, hey, I'm waiting for these price hikes to slow down. What I'm hearing from sellers is, hey, look, so-and-so's house sold last year for, you know, this amount, and my house has got to be worth 20% more than that one. And so I'm seeing, it feels like 2009 in that the buyers and the sellers are seeing the market in different ways. At least in 2020, both sides agreed, hey, wow, this is nuts. You know, there was no disparity in what they feel like the market is like. But right now, I feel like buyers have a little bit better bead on the state of the market than do most, I'll say most sellers. Some sellers are realize what's going on, but the sellers that are putting their homes and properties or lots, condos, whatever on the market and marking up 20% from last year, I think those are the ones that are sitting on the market, because we're seeing days on market increase. We're seeing price drops hit the MLS like we hadn't seen in, 2 years. So that's been interesting too.
Yeah. And so speaking of price trends, seeing the monthly reports, there's from the association there, are prices cooling off a little bit? Because I saw, some pretty strong price growth there for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think they are now. Like last year, I think prices went up 18% last year, even though sales were down. Numbers of homes sold were down, like 26%. So, but that's what happened last time too. That's what that happened in 08 and 09, or excuse me, it happened in 06 and 07, where even though home sales were decreasing, prices increased. But what I'm seeing this year is that I think prices are going to be flat this year. And the price decreases we're seeing in the MLS, I think we're sellers being too aggressive. And so I get that a lot too from buyers. They're like, well, is it going to be worth less than it is this year? I don't think so. I just think those price decreases are a little bit wishful thinking from sellers.
That's very understandable. And I was going to say, thank you for that recent article that you did about, the many different components of value on Lake Martin. Check that out on our website if you haven't yet. But I thought you made a really good point, because in real estate, every property is unique, but I think you could say, Lake Martin properties are especially unique. Nobody has the exact same view, et cetera. And so do you mind just kind of going through all those, I thought you made a really good point, all the different components that create value.
Yeah, it's really hard to wrap your head around. It still is for me sometimes, that the way things are priced is the view first, privacy second, location third, and the house is fourth, and most people, I'll say this, most people's view can be in the private, what I think is a good view could be slightly different than what you think is a good view, but most of the time people are going to think pretty much the same. So that's how things are prioritized. And so it's hard to wrap your head around that, especially as a buyer, because sometimes I feel like buyers get too focused on the house and too focused on that, because that can always be changed. You can never change the view. You can never change the location. You can pretty much never change the privacy. And that's how I see the market, both on the selling side and the buying side. That's how I see the market tend to price things.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was a good recap. Thanks for that. Do you see many buyers that want a specific specific neighborhood or specific part of the lake? Or are they more open to various areas?
Yeah. Some are. I mean, like I call those geography buyers, you know,
Right.
because some people say, "Hey, I want to be on the west side of the lake." And most of the time, that's because that's where I call it the salmon effect, or I learned to ski effect. Like, it just they want to be where they learn to ski, right?
Right, yeah, or the part they're familiar with.
Right,
Yeah,
and
they
it's
have emotional
understandable.
ties to maybe.
Exactly. And then, but then some people want to be like close to, like sometimes I have East Side buyers. They'll say, "Hey, look, we, you know, went to Auburn, and so we want to be within, you know, 45 minutes of the stadium." Or I know that's hard for y'all to conceive of in
Oh,
Tuscaloosa
well,
County.
hey,
It's
not
about
Lake Martin, that's in the heart of Auburn country. You definitely see a lot more Auburn flags out there than you do Bama flags, that's for
right.
sure.
And but then sometimes though people want to be, you know, there's Georgia is a big influence on our market. And so some people want to be in the east side to be close to Georgia. So I'd say this is a total, this is one of those stats that I'm making up on the fly, but I'd say maybe, you know, 30%, 40% of my buyers are location specific. And then, but I'd say the majority are not. The majority are kind of, they want to be, you know, they're more about their price and their view and that sort of thing.
I would think most buyers would fall into that latter category just because, I mean, it's, you know, there's like as you mentioned, you know, there's not a ton available for sale, and it's probably even harder to be especially picky, you know, in 2023. So,
I think so.
so it's kind of staying with the supply side. What are some of the new developments that are happening on the lake?
Yeah, Russell Lands is Lake Martin's weird in that, and a lot of your buyers may know this, but it's weird in that most of the undeveloped land is owned by two companies. Russell Lands is a developer, and then Alabama Power, a utility company, and so that's what. Why our supply is so constricted. Only about 30% of Lake Martin is developed, we figure. And
Wow,
and
that's
so
fascinating.
yeah. And so when it feels like you know, you think, well gosh, it's a you know 880 miles of shoreline, it's 44,000 acres, and why aren't there more homes for sale? Well, that's why. It's just, you know, very limited amount or is even developed. But of that 30%, yeah, when you have new neighborhoods come on, it's notable because it just we just don't have it a whole lot. And so Russell Lands opened up a new neighborhood called the Heritage, and they opened the phase one last year. And I'm not a Russell Lands employee, but obviously being here in the market, I know about it. And that did extremely well. I think they sold out all their phase one, all their lots are sold out. And then I think they're going to do phase two this year towards the end. Middle part of the summer for the Heritage, so that's a big influence. But that neighborhood influenced lot sales because they released, I think, 43 lots, let's call it, and 39 of them they put in the MLS. And so of the MLS sales for that year, like, you know, gosh, it was, you know, 39 out of 112, let's say, were in the Heritage. So it was a big impact.
Yeah, that's
And but it was something doesn't happen all that often. And you know, they're and like, you know, Outbound Power released Kennebec in 2018, but that was like 41 lots. And
Okay. And
before
what part of the
that,
lake is that on?
it's on the other side of it's on the southeast side. So it's on
Okay.
the Dable side and it's
Yep.
like east of Chimney Rock.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But before that, the only neighborhood they had released like that was Emerald Shores, and they did that like in 04. And that was like 52 lots. So when you talk about this, if you look at a big, huge lake, you know, 39 lots here and 41 lots there sounds like a lot, but when they only doing it once every 10 years, it's really not a whole lot on the grand scale of things.
Yeah, definitely. And
So when
so,
it
but yeah,
happens, it's newsworthy.
for sure. Yeah. And speaking of Alabama Power, that's interesting. I didn't, so what is their, I didn't know that they would release land for development from time to time. Anything, are you aware of any plans they have, or, you know, you think that,
I'm
would you expect
not.
that to continue in the future?
I do. I'm not a listing agent for them either, although I was in 18, but I'm not now. So I don't know any plans. I'm not in loop on that at all. But you know, you can look at their when Alabama Power relicensed Martin Dam. They have to do that every 40 years to get a license to operate the dam. And I think that was maybe 2015, 2016. And when they do that, they have to, it's all, you know, public record. They have to mark different areas of possible development, and then they have to mark areas that they won't develop. And so you can kind of look at that paper and kind of see what's what's fair game and what's not. And again, I have no clue what's going to happen in the future, but the way that that kind of gets into real estate sometimes is you might be helping a client look at a house, and it might border some land that Outbound Power owns, and you look up and you can see that is that big hunk of land. You think, okay, well, are they going to develop this? And if it's put, I forget the exact term, I'm going to mess this up, but that's it's out of the project or something like that is the term, meaning they're telling the feds, hey, we're setting aside this land and we're not going to develop it for, you know, the next license period or whatever it is, the 40 years. So that, as a real estate agent, helps you advise your client, okay, there's a really good, you know, you never say never in real estate, right? But you know, you can look at that parcel of land and know that it's not even in the consideration of something that Outbound Power will sell in the future. And so you have pretty good assurance that it's going to stay forest land for at least 40 years.
Yeah, pretty good chunk of time. And so outside of, and there might be, you know, I'm just going to, well, interested to hear what you have to say here, but, you know, so outside of Russell Lands and outside of Alabama Power, have there been any developments, you know, of significant size that have come on lately, maybe, you know, just from another party that would, you know, have some land for development to say?
There haven't been a whole lot. I mean, there's one called The Sanctuary that's, I think they just released 10 or 12 lots, and it's on the east side off of Highway 34. Again, I'm not the listing agent of that there either. There was one up on north of the River Bridge.
Wow, way up there. Okay.
Yeah. And they had some off water stuff, to probably like 10 or 12 lots. So, but that's really about it. You do see it occasionally, but it'll be like, you know, 8 or 9 lots. Pretty rare.
Right. And speaking of your off the water, that's one thing I wanted to get in as well. Are you seeing more home sales? You know, because typically you think, you know, lake house right there on the waterfront. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing, is there interest in properties that might be, say, a water view home or water access home?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was a trend that we saw really pick up during the pandemic. Because the price appreciation happens so fast that that rising tide lifted the boats of water view and water access houses as well. So yes, is the short answer. Like there's neighborhoods like, Talisee Cove has a bunch of off water houses. I think of the 50, I might get this wrong, but like 52 lots in Talisee Cove, I think half of them, close to half of them were water view and water access. The Village is another neighborhood. Stillwaters is a huge neighborhood that has a ton of water access and water view houses. So we're seeing lots and houses like that that used to be in the, you know, 200s sell for, you know, in the mid threes to mid 400s for homes that are like that. But the tricky part about that market is that some houses, like Talisee Cove is a great example. The off-water houses there have a deeded boat slip.
Gotcha. I was going to say there's got to be some type of like common dock area or, you know, a common water access. But yeah, but continue.
That's the real trick, I think, when I'm helping buyers is, okay, I see that it's water access, but how solid is your water access? Because having a deeded boat slip that is just yours and yours alone is the best, right? And then having access to community dock where if you're out on the boat, right, and you're driving around and you've had a bunch of Capri Suns and you're ready to come back home and you drive home and all the community dock slips are filled up, then what? You know?
Yeah, that's a good
point. So that you need to price that a little bit lower. So but that's when you want to dig down into the details of exactly what the water access is but it's been super interesting to me that over the last 3 years, that has been a real side of our market that has appreciated.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about it, but with, you know, as mentioned, you know, there's not a ton of new developments. You know, there's a few, but not a ton, considering the size of the lake. You know, a lot of people are comfortable with their lake house, might not want to move. Not a ton of inventory, you know, coming in, or just, you know, resales on the market. But with prices where they've gotten, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that market, you know, that water access and water view market just continued to grow, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have your lake access. Of course, it's in a different, you know, not your traditional waterfront, but you have your lake access and you have something that's, you know, way more affordable product. So I'm not surprised that people are, you know, getting more into that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're dead on with that.
Yeah. And I believe they have some of those, at the Heritage, and as you mentioned, not the listing agent there, but a significant number of the, properties available there at the Heritage are going to fall into those categories, won't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they would be, you know, better answer that question than I would, but yeah, sure. Off water stuff. And with it being a golf course there, that's going to be another big draw, with their new golf course. I think the golf course is slated to come. You're a golfer, right?
I am. Yeah.
You haven't got a tee time yet?
Not. And, yeah. Well, I'll have to, considering the initiation fee, hopefully, I can find a friend who's joined, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe get a guest invite, but yeah, I believe it's scheduled to come, to open this fall.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that a while back, and took a boat ride up there, and that golf course has really transformed that slough. I mean, I was up there this weekend just cause my brother and I wanted to take the kids and, you know, just to see like the progress of the golf course. Cause it's pretty amazing. But they have it all sided in, but I mean, there were multiple, you know, like you see at Chimney Rock, you know, like the 10 boats like tied together, you know, just having a little,
yeah.
Well, there was two groups doing that in the slough there at Wicker Point. I was like, okay, you know, usually a year or two ago, I'd go in there, you'd see two or three boats, you know,
mm-hmm.
But it's really kind of transformed that area. But yeah, that's another thing I wanted to talk about, you know, new amenities in the area. And that's definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a very highly acclaimed course. As you know, the architects that did it, Core and Crenshaw, that's Ben Crenshaw, the, you know, pro golfer, won several majors, but it's the first golf course those two have done in the state of Alabama, and they're very highly regarded architects. So it's going to get a lot of buzz. Just look forward to seeing that, seeing that develop. I think they've already said it's a top 100 course in the nation. Not even open yet, but it's planned to be. It's going to get a lot of attention.
So. Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, we would go. When you're 13 or 14, you're not embarrassed by anything. So we would go over and go by Willow Point and by that island green, you know, and watch people tee off and then swim and get their golf balls if they plunked them in the water, you know.
I remember seeing. Yeah. I've been that kid too.
Right. So I don't know if I'm not familiar enough with the new course that there's a course like that or a hole like that, but I could definitely see, you know, Peanut Point is right by that new course. And so I could see people swinging by and getting, you know, boating up and buying some bulled peanuts and then cruising over and watching golf from the water. I can definitely see that happening.
For sure. Yeah. It is somewhat similar to Willow Point, you know, probably has more, more water, I guess, what do you call it? More frontage, you know, because being on that natural peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
But Wicker Point, I mean, there's going to be, it looks like to be at least three, maybe four greens that are right there by the water. And it's a little bit, you know, instead of being out on a peninsula, it's kind of more back in the back, but still has a great water view. Nice. But yeah, you're still going to have three or four greens that are right there on the water. And the topography, it's going to have a lot of elevation change.
Mm.
And so, and that's, you know, and that's incorporated into the design element, but it's just really, it's very, very, you know, impressive looking course, just seeing it from the water. And I bet the golfers are going to love it.
Oh yeah.
But back to other amenities in the area, what are some other new amenities? Cause it's not just about, you know, it's not just about the lake, you know, the amenities in the area continue to draw people to the, you know, to Lake Martin. So what are some of those other amenities?
Yeah. We had a new, Fanny Goldmine Diner just opened up. It's a restaurant, that Russell Lands developed on Russell Crossroads. And so they just opened up, There are also other like restaurants and stuff going, you know, downtown Dadeville continues to have new stuff going on there on the Dadeville side. You know, growing up in Ellic City, you know, Dadeville was kind of our rival, you know, so I guess my Ellic City roots would not want me to admit, but Dadeville's been doing a great job, really have, no kidding. And so they've got all kinds of, you know, restaurants and shops and things to do over there.
And how far would that be from the lake, just for the folks?
It's downtown Dadeville. Yeah, some parts of downtown Dadeville are like 5 minutes, like anywhere on Lake Martin. Some parts is five minutes, some parts is an hour.
Yeah.
But if you're on the east side, like on the southeast, like we just mentioned, like Kennebec or Talisker Coast. Kennebec's about 15 minutes from downtown Dadeville. And so it's, but other parts are about 5 minutes. The Ridge would be a good 45 minutes because you have to drive around.
Gotcha.
But that, you know, those are, you know, great things to do there. There's all kind of things to do. And like too, another, one of the, what I did yesterday, a lot of people don't realize is, the river, the Tallapoosa River is, about 40 minutes away from the lake. Well, again, depending on where you are, but, there has been a kind of a sub industry around the river part of the Lake Martin area that has popped up recently. And so now you're seeing a lot of people that kayak and there's shuttle services for the river. There's fly fishing guides for the river. And, so I just did that yesterday. That's why it's fresh on my mind.
Yeah. So you're talking about the stretch of the river that would be north of, like, say, the high where the 280 bridge comes across.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're looking at a map, it's the Horseshoe Bend. It's where Irwin Shoals is where the lake kind of becomes the lake. You know?
That's a cool spot. Yeah.
And so the stretch that people float a lot is from Horseshoe Bend National Military Park to Jaybird Boat Landing. And so that's where that shuttle service goes back and forth. So if you've got your own kayak, they'll just shuttle you back and forth. You can rent stuff from, there's a, you know, a couple of businesses that, you know, will do that for you. So,
Yeah. And that Irwin Shoals area is pretty cool. It's been several years, but my wife and I took the boat because I'd always wanted to see the headwaters of the lake. I'd never seen it, been going there most of my life.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool because I was, you know, I could tell we were near in the shoals, you know, because you can, you know, the water gets more shallow. And then I looked in the distance and actually saw a few rapids and I saw a guy in a kayak coming through, you know, nothing too serious, but enough to where you can see like, yeah, I'm definitely not taking the boat up there. but it was pretty cool to see that. Must have been right there at Irwin Shoals.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly where you were. And yeah, many a prop has been lost by people getting too far up, but that's right where it kind of becomes, it feels like the lake and it doesn't, it doesn't flow anymore. But that's been a real popular draw. And so people that's asked me like, hey, I want to do something on the water, but I want to kind of feel like it's not the lake. You know, that's, you know, a spot I always tell them to do.
Yeah. And you're a fisherman. How's the fishing up there? You would think it's kind of better in that, you know, up in the river. You want to talk fishing for a minute?
Oh yeah. Oh, on the river. It's awesome. It's more of a, because you know, you're fishing with moving water. What we go for up there a lot is the red-eye bass. I fly fish for them, which is, you know, a nerdy pursuit, but it's a lot of fun. And they, the red-eyes are a native fish. And so that's what I like about it too, is they're a smaller fish, but it's also, you get like Alabama bass and spot, or also known as spotted bass are up there.
Those are fun to catch. They fight.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And so because the river is shallower up there, you're not talking about super deep water, and so fly fishing tends to do really well up there. Honestly, you can other than bait fishing, you can sometimes almost outfish a conventional angler up there with fly rod. But it's a lot of fun. And again, you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. You almost never do you see another boat.
Right.
You know, you're on the river for 4 hours. You might see one other person.
Yeah. What kind of boat are you fishing out of when you do that?
The fly fishing guides have those inflatable rafts, just like you would see out west somewhere with a middle person rowing and then two anglers on either side. And that lets them kind of bump around and hit those rocks and not worry about it. But yeah, that's what they do. Or what I'll do too, I don't have one of those rafts. And so what I have like a kayak.
Right.
And so I'll put in and then float down and then just kind of anchor. When I get to some of those shoals, like Irwin Shoals, I'll just anchor out, tie it up, and then wade from there.
Okay.
and that's a lot of fun.
Well, good to hear. And yeah, it's always been a tough lake to fish because I'm kind of getting back into fishing after taking a few years off.
Yeah.
And similar to Lake Tuscaloosa, you know, I mean, it's another, you know, any reservoir is going to be a little bit more difficult fishing, you know, than a natural environment. But but shout out to my brother, Charlie Norton. I think you know Charlie.
Yeah.
Commercial broker in Birmingham, Harbert Realty Services. But he put us on real close to our house. So this is, you know, kind of near the ridge. But he's like, we need to fish these rocky points.
Uh-huh.
And we got on this one point. He's like, the spotted bass probably going to be, you know, in that rocky cover. But I watched him pull six fish out. I got two, he got six. But I'd never caught eight fish in a, you know, 45-minute time span on Lake Martin. And so that was pretty cool to have that happen this past weekend.
What did you tip him?
I did. or at least I should. Charlie, I owe you. Well, I was driving the boat. I put him on the spot, so I was
okay. All right. Well, this is
we don't have a truth. We don't have a trolling motor, so I was kind of on the wheel, getting him in position.
Yeah, that's the tough part about it. I have a John boat, and so I don't have a trolling motor either. So you got to kind of get to where you're going to get and make hay while you're there.
That's right. Yeah, and with the wind, the way the wind was kind of gusting this past weekend, we were just, you know, just catching bass, you know, just Texas rig, plastic worms, kind of like you would normally expect. But speaking of fishing, I mean, cause I can't catch any off my dock, but I've seen that you can tell they're not pros, but they look like pros. I probably do some amateur tournaments, the guys with the bass boats and the shirts and all, but I've seen a guy cruise through our neighborhood. It was two of them. And I mean, I watched him catch four bass, you know, and just thinking to myself, obviously it's a skill game.
They got to know where they're going, and you know, good electronics help. But I tell you too, another awesome part about Lake Martin is the striped bass. It's an awesome striped bass fishery, and to mention one of the guides, a guy named David Hare with Elk City Guide Service. He's got a fleet of boats, and they're out. My gosh, they probably fish, you know, close to 300 days a year.
Right.
And so they know where things are, but that's a big trend in the last 30 years that's happened is kind of dialing in those, the striped bass. And that's if people are coming to the lake and they want a unique experience and they want to stay on Lake Martin, I always recommend they go do that because it's kind of like, you know, inshore fishing at the beach, in that you're not, you know, there's not huge waves, but you're, you know, you can come and be back at your lake house pretty quickly,
right?
But catch a lot of great fish too, and learn a lot about the lake. So that's always a fun thing to do.
Yeah, I've talked to some folks who have done those. I've never done it personally, but have some relatives who've done that. And Charlie, he caught a big stripe, you know, with a guide back. But it sounds like I think they are mainly fishing the deeper waters, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they tend to a lot of guides fish with live bait, but they're using their sonar or whatever, and they're finding these big schools, and then they drop down to those.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on the time of the year.
That's true.
In the colder months, they troll for them, though, and so catch them more shallow.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to put that on my list as well.
Oh, for sure.
So, well, awesome, John. Well, this has been it's been very informative. I really appreciate you joining us for the episode today. Any final thoughts as we kind of wrap it up here?
Yeah, just I'll be watching y'all's numbers too. I really like how you, you know, y'all have different markets of Alabama and then, you know, Alabama in general. So I always sort of wonder, like, you know, I'm so hyper-focused on Lake Martin. It helps me to look out at other markets too, to kind of wonder what's going on. So I'm going to be looking at y'all's reports for different markets too, especially to, just to kind of see what's going on and see if the trends hold.
Right. Yeah. Well, a lot of what you've mentioned, you know, sales being below the 5-year average, we're seeing that in a lot of markets across the state. So, you know, so what's happening there at Lake Martin is, you know, those same trends apply to a lot of other areas, but statewide sales are in the, you know, that same category, you know, they're below the statewide average, say around 15% or so most recently. But essentially back to pre-COVID levels in pretty much most of our markets.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and it's obviously, you know, it's just rates, you know, rates going to where they are, you know, I guess having the intended effect, you know, it's cooled off a lot of that.
I guess.
All right.
It'll be neat to watch.
Yeah. Well, hey, I really enjoyed this today, John, and thanks again for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Stuart.
All right.